I think everybody's just about tried to preach my message this afternoon. Well, there's not much choice, is there? It's Palm Sunday. You know, they steal all the scriptures, they read all the scriptures, they preach on them. Hallelujah, but that's great.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
It's all true.
It is.
No matter whether you believe in God or not, He exists.
Amen.
No matter whether you've seen God or not,
yeah,
He exists.
Yes.
God is spirit,
yeah,
and you can only see Him with the eye of the spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's Palm Sunday, and I think I've got there's a picture up there, there's a photograph somewhere. Yeah, there you go, if you can just see it. There's Jesus. Just give you an idea, an artist's impression of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And He's coming in on a donkey.
Yeah.
One that's never ever been ridden before.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever ridden on it. And the symbolism of coming in on a donkey is a symbol that He is coming as a king of peace, not a king of war. A king of war would come in riding a beautiful horse. But the symbolism of a donkey is that Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is coming in peace. Wow. He's not coming to beat us. He's coming to set us free from our oppressions. Hallelujah. And so we worship a mighty God who has come to set captives free. And I just thank God for that. You know, I saw on the news, on the internet today, that in Cairo, in Egypt, there were Christians worshipping, celebrating Palm Sunday, and somebody has set off a bomb in the church and killed, I think, 12 people was the count when I read it, and 25 other people are injured. They're standing for their beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're standing for the faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And they're standing in a country that is against Christianity. But they're standing for it. They're standing on the word of God. They're standing on the principles of God. Do you know, we need to continue to stand in this nation. This nation needs the churches to begin to stand, to begin to grow. And as they grow, they will take the ground back that belongs to us. If not, our nation will be surrendered over. And that is not what I want. I want to see this nation with the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords ruling over us and bringing us peace, and the presence of God being in this nation. You know, like Pauline has just said, that she came to church not feeling well. You know, usually if you're not feeling well, at some stage you will visit the doctor. Is that not true? If you're not well, if you're unwell and feeling off it, in the end you will at some stage visit the doctor. Yes? Right. I'm glad we all agree. Well, I need to tell you that the best doctor, the best person you can ever come to, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the healer. I have seen hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people during my time as a Christian, being healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. I've seen cripples walk. And do you know who did it? It was the Jesus, the Prince of Peace,
yes,
that came into their lives and set them free and healed them.
Yes.
And so I would encourage you, if you don't feel well, get to church.
Amen.
Enter into the worship. Worship is a healing time.
Yes.
Worship, as you enter into the presence of God, suddenly the presence of God just comes into you.
Amen.
And you into Him.
Yes.
And there's that surge of healing power. And if that hasn't worked, well, the Lord's table is a healing table. the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that healing for our bodies. And if that hasn't worked, then at the end of the service we'll lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, and you will be healed. Hallelujah, because we believe in a healing God. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, and whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Jesus is the answer. You know, when we look at, we celebrate Palm Sunday, that this is the time as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, to some degree for his last and great time. And as he comes into Jerusalem, everybody's there. They've got the palm branches out. Palm is symbolic of peace. It's not a sword. You won't kill anybody with a palm branch, will you? You know, and the waving these branches, just imagine, just picture, if we were to have a crowd of people and everybody had palm branches, and Jesus walked in and we're waving the palm branches, and Jesus is coming in, and they're excited and they're saying, Hosanna, save us Lord, deliver us Lord, set us free Lord. And they're calling him Hosanna, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Messiah, the one who is going to deliver us and set us free. And all of Jerusalem is full, because there is a time of preparation for the Passover. So people have come throughout the country. Jerusalem is heaving, it's bustling with hundreds of thousands of people coming to worship, coming to spend that time of the Passover in the temple. Jesus turns up a few days before and enters into Jerusalem. And suddenly there's this outcry from the people. Deliver us. Set us free. It's the Messiah. He'd done so many miracles during his 3 years of ministry. He'd opened blind eyes, deaf ears. He'd raised the dead. He fed 5,000 men, women and children. He'd done all of these things. And people were excited to see Jesus coming in, and he's coming in as this Prince of Peace. All this was foretold in the book of Genesis. If you turn to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 1, this is the old patriarch Jacob. It says this: then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. Gather together and hear, sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. So here he is, he's saying, look, come on, come on, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you about the future, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And now I want to just skip through some verses and go to verse 9. Well, verse 8, we'll start with verse 8. And Israel, Jacob, speaks to Judah and says, Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. Now we know that what the very symbol for the tribe of Judah, what is it? Charles? A lion. A lion. And here it says in verse 9, it says that Judah is a lion's whelp, a young lion. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares to rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. That's a strange thing. Until Shiloh comes. Now, first of all, he's saying that Judah is going to be powerful, Judah is going to be faithful, Judah is going to be the lion, and that Judah, the authority that is being invested in Judah, will continue until Shiloh comes. Carry on to read. And to him shall be the obedience of the people to Shiloh. He ties his foals to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine, and his teeth are white from milk. Do you know what that's beginning to prophesy about? It's beginning to prophesy about the fact that Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem, verse 11, his donkey's colt. He's beginning to tell the story of the future, which is 3,000 to 4,000 years later. Wow. Amazing. And God is speaking through him to his own sons. And he says there, he washes his garments in wine. Wine is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. That Jesus was beaten and bruised and marred beyond all recognition, we know. And his robes were drenched in his blood. And yet, here in the beginning of Genesis, the early chapters of Genesis, that God is telling that story, that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send a healer. I'm going to send the King of Kings. It's one of the names of the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we can rejoice in that, that God is with us, and that he'll never leave us, and that he would never forsake us. And it is so exciting to see that as God moves in our lives, we see the power of God changing our destiny, changing the purpose of our life even. You know, God wants you to have a different purpose for your life. God wants you to have a great future. So many times the purposes of people's lives lead them to disaster, lead them to problems and difficulties. And yet, you know, when you put Jesus first, he begins to set you on the pathway of eternal life into his presence, and to know the power of God that changes lives. And today, as we've been worshipping God, it has been wonderful. It's been great for the young people to be so much involved and helping in praise and worship. I rejoice at that. But do you know something? God rejoices even more. Hallelujah. God rejoices even more. God is excited of the fact that people are committed and want to be involved. God is excited that his people want to connect. And as Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was such an excitement going on. And yet we know that a few days later, the mood of the people change. And people can sometimes be so fickle, and, you know, in fact somebody was talking to me this afternoon and saying, oh, girls, they're always falling out, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, I don't know, I'm not a girl, thankfully. But, you know, we have to realize that there's more to life than just what's going on right now around you. See the bigger picture. Sometimes we just look at one piece of the jigsaw and we're stuck with it. You don't know what to do with that one piece until you see the picture, the whole picture. And then you think, ah, it goes over there. And then you pick up another piece. Oh, and that goes over there. And then you build the jigsaw. But so often we need the help of the picture. Is that not true? Well, let me tell you this. If you want to know how to live, if you want to know how to be successful, if you want to know how to have eternal life, if you want to know how to move in the power and the presence of God, you need to look at the picture. And the picture is the Word of God. Without this, these are my instructions. This is how I find Jesus. This is how I find a deeper relationship with the presence of God. This is how I know God is real. Because I'm looking at the pictures that the Bible is painting in words to encourage us to move us on. One of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 9, it says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes. He is just." Hallelujah. I thank God we have a just king. We have a righteous king. And it says, "Our king is coming, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And again, some 400 to 500 years before Jesus comes, a prophet is prophesying about this happening that we are celebrating today on Palm Sunday. So 500 years before it actually happens, somebody is saying, this is what is going to happen. Wow. And what I want to know is, how did he get to know about that? The simple answer is, he knew God. And God knows the future. We know the now, don't we? We know the now. We might even think we know tomorrow. Yeah? We've all got plans for tomorrow, haven't we? Yeah. Some of us say, well, I'm going to work tomorrow. Yeah? Some say, I'm not at school tomorrow, so I've got plans. But do we know that those plans are going to happen? No, we don't, do we? We don't know. But let me tell you this. God knows exactly what is going to happen tomorrow. Yeah. Isn't that great? You see, God reaches down and he says, what's your name?
Pranav.
Sorry.
Pranav.
Pranav. He says, he takes hold of your hand and he says, Pranav, he says, today, I'm going to look after you. Today, I'm going to be your protection. Today, I'm going to be with you. Because God loves you. Amen? See, God loves us. You see, God's not against us. God is not a bully. You know, I hear people saying to me, well, if God was a God of love, then why are all these things happening in the world today? Why are all these killings and murders and famines? There's a simple answer. Sin. Greed. greed for power, greed for money. That's why these things are happening. You see, today there is enough food in the world to feed everybody. There's enough food in the world now to feed everybody in the world. They talk about us that we're throwing something on TV the other week, that we're throwing, what was it, 50 odd percent of the food away. There were some silly figures, like thinking, how can people be throwing away? Because it's gone out of date. And things like that, and, you know, the sell. And so they're throwing it, they buy it, forget about it, and then throw it away. They're wasting it. And it's like, wow. And there's areas where there is so much food and grain being stored. Could be given away to places of need. But we want power. We want money. We want to control people. Jesus did not come to control us. He says he came to set us free. People don't understand that. How can he came to set us free? You see, God gave us a free will. I'm free to worship God. I'm free to choose not to worship God. But I know this much. That when I don't worship God, when I don't spend time in the presence of God, my life is miserable. I know that when I don't walk close to the Lord, my life becomes miserable. My life becomes difficult. But I know that when I get close to Jesus, life gets better. Life gets exciting. Yeah. Oh, sometimes there are some challenges to face. There are some battles to stand against the enemy. But he said, I'm with you. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm always going to be there. I'm there for you. I'll fight with you. He's there. He's the God of all of creation. And he became a man. And he came down to this earth. And he rode on a donkey. And he came as a prince and a king of peace to give you freedom, to give you and me life, to give life to lost humanity, to save humanity that is struggling. He said, I've come. Salvation. What does salvation mean? So many people think, well, you put your hand up and you come to Jesus and he accepts you and now you're going to be with him in heaven. But what salvation really means is salvation is about your healing. Not just healing of the mind or healing of the body or healing of the soul so we can enter into the presence of God. But it is a total package. Healing. So when we come to the house of the Lord and we come and we worship him, we can be healed in the very presence of worshiping God. I remember a story of a man who was in his 70s. He was diagnosed with cancer. And this is going back a good number of years, and there wasn't really any decent treatment for cancer. And they said to him, you're going to die. So he went to church the next Sunday, and he began to worship the Lord, and he began to dance in the presence of God. He began to get so caught up in worship that he danced before the Lord in church. Some people would frown on that. But he danced. He was rejoicing. He was dancing in the presence of God. Weeks later, he went back to the doctors. More tests. And do you know what had happened? The cancer had gone. It had disappeared. He danced into the presence of God. And as he danced into the presence of God, the healing power of God came on him, and he was healed. How can you get your healing? Go into the presence of God. How can I go into the presence of God? You can go into the presence of God by reading your Bible. You can go into the presence of God by praying to Him. You can go into the presence of God by singing and worshipping Him. You can go into the presence of God and you can dance in His presence. You can come to church and be in the presence of God. Because He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be with you. And so we worship a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship a saving Jesus. We worship a risen Lord. We've not got to Easter yet, but I can't, you know, I'm there already. We're already there, aren't we? You know, the tomb's empty. The stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. Because we know that we know that we know He's risen. He's risen. Hallelujah. He's ascended and He's glorified. And it excites me. And Palm Sunday leads into that, you know, that time when Jesus has come now to redeem, to save, to set free, to deliver us from every sickness, every disease, from every trace of sin in our lives, and to bring us to a place where He initially in the Garden of Eden intended us to be perfect, holy, in His very presence, to be like God. Wow, that's a big statement, isn't it? To be like God? Who, me? You? If you're made in His image. If you're made in His image. What does that mean we're going to be like? God? Wow. Glory of the Lord should be upon us. His very presence. He's promised to go with us. When you come into contact with people, they can look at you and immediately they say, there's something different about you. What is it? It is the very presence of the living God that resides within me, within you. Oh, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But Jesus, through the love and the blood of Jesus, looks at us and says, but you are perfect. Because I have made you perfect through that precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And so as the people were rejoicing and saying, deliver us, we can say today, thank God, Jesus has delivered us. Amen. He set us free. We can wave the palm branches and say, we're set free. We're healed. We're delivered. We're the ones who have been redeemed. He's given peace into our lives. And we can rejoice and praise the Lord because He has set us free. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. There's no question about it. You have to rejoice. We rejoice in God. We rejoice in what God has done for us. We rejoice in His presence. Because He has a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a purpose for our lives. He has an intention to do us good. You know, Jesus, when He walked this earth, the voice of God was heard over Him 3 times. The first time was when He went to John the Baptist and he was being baptized in water in the Jordan. And as he was baptized and he came up, a voice said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Wow. God speaks
God rejoices over the obedience of His Son. Isn't that wonderful? God rejoices over you. The angels rejoice over you. Why? Because you are one of His children. And the angels rejoice, and God delights in you. You're the delight of the eye of God. Your children be your delight. Oh, I know some days they can be frustrating. Some days they can be difficult. Some days they can be challenging. But in truth, you wouldn't swap them. Well, sorry about that. Most of us wouldn't swap them. If I said to Dilip, can I borrow your children for a few weeks? He'd probably turn around. No. Then again, depends what sort of week he's been having with them. He might say, oh, please, Andrew, yeah, please take them for a week or two. Just, you know, set me free. Hallelujah. But he would come sooner or later and say, I want them back. Because they're my delight. Yeah? Well, he's nearly nodding. he's nearly nodding, so. But he would miss them. And if you miss your children, how much more does God miss you when we don't go into His presence? When we don't spend time with Him? How much more does God miss us? Wow. Why does He miss us? Any idea? That's right. He loves us. He loves us so much that when we're not there, He misses us. If your wife's not there for a while, you miss her, don't you? Where is she? Why? Because you love them. Where is she? Where's she gone? You haven't heard from her for a little while. Think, what's happened? Why do you think like that? Because love beats. Love seeks the one you love. And you see, God loves all humanity, and God is seeking through Jesus the ones He loves. He's seeking the world today. The next time God speaks about Jesus is when He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples go up, and suddenly, as they're praying, the presence of God comes down. Elijah and Moses are there, and the place is, whoa, this suddenly, as far as the disciples are concerned, becomes a holy place. And they say, oh, let's build 3 booths here, you know, this is a sanctified holy place. And suddenly the voice of God comes and speaks and says, listen to my son. God again speaking, acknowledging and sealing who Jesus is. Jesus. And in John's Gospel, chapter 12, most of it, I believe, has been read today for us. John's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 27, it reads, now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? This is Jesus speaking. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. In other words, the reason I'm here, he said, is to do what is about to happen. And then he goes on and says, Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitude thereof stood by and heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, were saying,
an angel spoke to him. No. It was his father saying, it is being glorified. God knows the future. God knows the purpose of your life. God knows how great He can use you in the future as we give our hearts and give our lives to Him in service. And as we dedicate ourselves to Him, you will see God moving through you in great power. I believe that. Because God will use any vessel that is willing to serve Him, that His glory might be seen. God wants willing vessels today. God wants to reach those people out in these streets around us with the love of God, with the power of God, with the healing power of God, with the saving power of God, with the delivering power of God, to set all these captives free, because He wants humanity back. He wants His children back. They belong to Him. They have been captured and taken and held hostage by the devil. The church's responsibility is to begin to set captives free. Amen. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Yes, and have it more abundantly. We serve a living God, we serve a mighty God, we serve a healing God. And I'll preach it and preach it to the last day of my breath. That's who He is. My God is a healing God. My God is a miracle working God. And I will never change from what I believe on that. Because He is the one who is the greatest. He's the one who set captives free. He's the one who heals and delivers and does mighty works. And when there's no other way, the way is Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, let the King come in again afresh. Let the King come into your life afresh. Riding in victory. Riding into your life, give him that rightful place. People were throwing the garments on the floor and throwing these palm branches, and he was riding in. They were saying, thank you. They were submitting themselves to Jesus. And as we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see victory. We'll see healing. God did not put sickness on you. He came to set you free. Sometimes we need to change our lifestyle as well. I remember once going to see a doctor, and the doctor, consultant, thank you, that was a word, you know.
The doctor called him, Jesus died.
Yeah.
So 2 years, about 2 years back, when I was in hospital in this special ward.
Yeah.
And we a friend of mine, Frank, and he was riding out, and he's not wanting to grow in a beard. He's a Catholic. You know, and the father beside me. I said, come on, Frank, you know, Jesus died, that we shall live and have life more abundantly.
Amen.
The father said, we're not more than you. And after that, he made a recovery.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's right. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. And it's true, when you speak the word of life, it creates life. Amen? When you speak the word of life, it creates life. And you know, I went to see this consultant, and she warned me off certain things that, you know, if they want to check you over and do this to you, she said, don't have it done. She said, all you need to do is change your lifestyle. In other words, slow down a bit. Because, you know, I'm a bit of a driver. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You be careful. And so I'm beginning to, as I get a shade older, beginning to try and just notch a gear down or two. And, you know, I just want to give a testimony of what I believe God has done for me in the last few weeks. in that I had to have two operations over the last 3 years. The first one went wrong, so I had to have the second operation, and they said, oh, before we operate we need to put you on some blood pressure tablets, and because you know you're just borderline. And I knew I needed just to slow down a little bit, change the diet a little bit, and things will be fine. Still working on the diet, you know, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, food. I have to stay away from Nepalese families. I have to stay away from visiting at the moment, you know, just I put my motorbiking gear on yesterday and I didn't need a belt, put it that way, you know. So, but as I've been on these blood pressure tablets for a while now, and I've had frozen knees. I could have a hot water bottle all night and my knees were still freezing cold, a blanket on me, my feet were frozen. And one morning I got out of bed and I looked at my left foot. I looked at both my feet, but my left foot in particular, and it didn't look a good colour. So I made a decision. I said, this is it. I've finished with the pills. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my deliverer. And I'm believing him to heal me completely. So a few days later, I went to visit the doctors and they checked the blood pressure and said, oh, that looks okay. So I've gone on for another 2 weeks and gone back and said, yeah, that seems fine. So we're trying a little bit longer. And I'm going, you know, and I've been monitoring my blood pressure and it's been fine for the last five weeks. I haven't taken a pill. My feet are warm, my knees are warm. In fact, a couple of nights I had to put my feet out of bed, they were so warm. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, the stuff they've been giving me is poison in small doses. They're gradually trying to poison me. God has a plan for me. God has a future for me. God has a purpose for me. And as with me, so God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And God wants to set you free. And God wants you to fulfill the plans and the purposes that he has for your life. And the devil wants to stop you. It's time to let Jesus in. And it's time to see God move in power. Amen? So praise God. So I want to encourage you. Start listening for the voice of God. Start celebrating Jesus. Start worshipping Jesus. Yes. And let the King of Kings come in all his power and in all his glory into your life and see the difference. Start telling people about Jesus. Start showing people Jesus. And listen, God will use you to heal people. Do you believe that? God will use you to heal people as you connect with him and share the love of Jesus in people's lives. We'll see lives being changed. Amen. Lord bless you. Let's continue to celebrate. Let's continue to celebrate, thank you, what God has done for us. Let's continue to rejoice. Let's make sure we keep Jesus right in the center of our lives. Don't let something else take his place. You know, I said to you girls, don't let a boyfriend take the place of Jesus. In marriages, don't let your family take place of Jesus. He's first. Put him first and everything else just lines up. Don't put your studies before Jesus. You might turn, oh, it's all right for you. I had to study. I went to university. We didn't even have the internet. We had to fight for books in the library because there weren't enough books to go around to study from. So don't tell me about it's tough. I've already been there, done that, had the t-shirt. Right? But I kept Jesus right bang in the center. Nothing was going to move me from Jesus. Nothing was going to come first place. Everything else comes after Jesus. Even Grace, when I was madly in love with her and dating her, Jesus came first and still does. I tell you what, the best decisions that I have ever made is to make Jesus the very center of my life, the very center of everything that I am and are. And then after that, God just blesses me and blesses me and blesses me. Do you know why? Because he knows then I will bless others. I will give life. I will share the love of Jesus. I just want to encourage you. Keep Jesus first place. Invite him in. Come on, Lord Jesus, come in. Come in as my King. Yeah. Come in as my Messiah.
Yeah.
Come in as my Deliverer.
Yeah.
Heal me, set me free. Let him be seated on the very throne of your life. And worship him. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to pray for Tracy at this time. Come on, lady.